Greetings and welcome to Minbar. We have often heard that Muslims are against the freedoms that the peoples of the West enjoy, and that democracy is usually mentioned as among those freedoms that it is assumed that Islam is against. The Western media usually focuses on the sultanates, emirates, and monarchies that exist in the Middle East, which dominate the mind and the attention as typical models of Islamic government or Eastern despotism. So often is this accusation leveled against Islam that the average Westerner overlooks the fact that there are many Muslim countries, such as Iran, Malaysia, and Indonesia, that have some sort of democratic government or other. Instead, when confronted with this fact, the response is that they are democracies despite their Islamic credentials, that democracy is a particularly Western phenomenon, and so the true example of democracies are places like Turkey and Tunisia, which are avowedly secular and actively suppress any attempt to introduce an Islamic program into the political process. What we would like to discuss here today is whether Islam is contradictory to democracy or not, and why. And to discuss this issue, we have as our guest Dr. Ahmed Vaizi, previous professor of Islamic studies at Cambridge University and specialist in the field of Islam and politics. Dr. Vaizi is presently head of Bakr al-Ulum University in Iran and has written a book on the subject, Shia Political Thought. Dr. Vaizi, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
The first thing I'd like to ask you is, what is democracy? Before we get into whether Islam and democracy are compatible or not, the first thing I want to find out is, what is democracy?
In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Actually, democracy as a political system has a very long history. And I'm saying that it is not a Western phenomena. If you look at many books that are written about the history of political thought, you see that always the democratic government is a political doctrine that in every age and every place there are some thinkers that always support this idea. But democracy has many different interpretation of democracy or versions of democracy. Democracy is not something that invented for once and forever. There are many different type of democracy that the history of political thought confronted such idea. And the classical concept of democracy is the political regime that is based on the role of people, that the people govern themselves. But it is so clear that never such a definition of democracy come in effect in the world, because always minority people, in fact, they govern. It is quite true that all people may participate to elect some people to govern them, but in the process of governing people, the majority are apart from making political decisions, making rule, and all these governmental affairs are delegated to minority.
Okay, before you continue, you said democracy is something very ancient, and basically, I got the impression that it is something that is basically international.
Yeah. Huh?
Now, when we examine the meaning of the word democracy, the origins are Greek in terms of demos and kratis, I think it is, meaning the rule of the people.
Yeah.
Why is it that it has been so focused on the Greek interpretation or the Greek roots?
Because for the first time, as we know, in the model of democracy for the first time traced back to the city state of Athens or something like that in the ancient Greek. So historically, it is start from the Greek.
Okay, and now you had mentioned that you don't really find true democracies anywhere in the world.
I said that literally. If you want to keep the literal meaning of democracy, which means the rule of people over themselves, it never happened, and it is not possible to happen.
Right.
Because, you know, in a large-scale societies, how can people, all people, participate in making one political decision?
Right.
You know, every day, in every country, they make many political decisions. They make, they legislate many rules, and the people never have time to participate. And to, and also, it is not feasible. For instance, it takes few years sometimes, few years to make one decision if everybody want to express his idea about one social decision. So people delegate, they write to few people, to minority. They decide beside of people.
So wait, what do you mean by minority? So the people delegate this right, delegate to this right to a minority. Who is this minority?
Actually, this let me make clear the difference between democratic government and totalitarian government. In dictatorship government or totalitarian government, just a specific minority govern the society. In democratic government, also minority governs, but not just a specific one, a specific minority. There are, in look at the current situation in the Western country, in each country there are minorities which they have in hand the sources of power, economic power, political power. They established some powerful parties. These minorities, political and economic minorities, they try to come in office by election. So when one of them succeed to come in power, so this specific minority govern, they decide, not all people, they decide. But it is for democratic government, they have chance to replace this minority and choose another minority.
Now, would that minority be from the same group?
Sometimes. Sometimes other group, other party. In other words, in one important element in democratic government and the democratic political system is that people participate in distributing political power. They distribute the political power, but they delegate political power to minority.
To not these particular minorities.
Yeah.
These specific minorities.
Democratic Party. Republic Party.
Right.
Yeah.
Now.
But I want to say that the literal meaning of democracy never happened and never would happen.
Which is the rule of the people themselves.
Yeah. Particularly in large scale societies. Yes, it is quite possible if you have a small scale society.
Like a city state in Athens and that type of thing.
Yeah, it's possible. Like Madinatul Nabi.
Right.
Madinatul Nabi in the age of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for instance, in the age of the Prophet, he came to people in the mosque because it was a small scale society, and he make a consultation with the people to exchange the idea and to make decision according to the mind of people. Is assembly model of democracy. It is, the assembly model of democracy is possible in small scale society, not in a large scale society that nowadays we see around the world.
Which implies that the people of the society assemble in one particular place, for example, and they make a decision. But in modern society, it's not.
Yeah.
So modern society, it is more suitable to have a representative type of democracy.
Yeah.
Could you elaborate a little bit on what a representative democracy is?
According to representative democracy that dominated the contemporary democratic government around the world, people participate to elect few people to govern them. So this minority govern, and also it is quite clear that some specific groups that they have in hand the economic power of the society, usually they support these few people. Several parties that are supported by these minority groups, and they influence the decisions and rules of the government. That is why many Western thinkers currently, they criticize democracy, these democratic government, and they say that people do not make decision, and people, they have no chance to participate in the process of making decision. Look at the current situation in US, for instance, in UK. People were against the Iraq war, for instance, and they demonstrate many times, and they express their idea, but this minority decides to go to war.
Right.
And they did.
Right. Because it seems to me...
And I remember one interview from Tony Blair that he said, it is the meaning of democracy. It is not the meaning of democracy that the government always follow the ideas of the people. People have right to come to election to change the situation next election. But now we decide.
So that, now after you elect us, you have no longer any role in the process.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Because it seems to me that in the U.S. this is exactly the case, right? You have, for example, the role of lobby groups, for example. You know, lobby groups tend to seem to get more rights. They are more listened to than the people who elected their representatives to government. How are there any mechanisms, are there any suggestions you have with respect to representative government that could change that, that could guard itself against that?
Actually, many supporters of democracy, they know that democracy as a political model, as a political doctrine, has many deficiencies. They know that. But in comparison with other type of government, they say that democracy is better, relatively, is better than others. Even there are many deficiencies. It is not a quite new idea. In the history of democracy, there are always many thinkers that they criticized democracy. For instance, early liberals like Tocqueville and John Stuart Mill, and even Immanuel Kant, they emphasize that democracy is a tyranny of majority. Tyranny of majority. And they may overlook the rights of minorities, and they might overlook the achievements of liberalism. like human rights, like individual freedoms. So they were worried about democracy. But after many attempts, liberals succeed to control democracy. They limited democracy within the framework of liberalism. So current democracies usually are limited democracy, which means they accept the role of people. Mm-hmm. They endorse the role of people. They respect the vote of people, but within the frame of liberal rules and values, which means those who come to power and the representatives of people in the parliament, they have no right to make decision against the fundamental rules and values of liberalism. They have no right to ignore the fundamental principles of liberalism, which means that the authority of people work and the representatives of people have right to exercise power, but within the framework of liberal rules and values. For the same reason, we support religious democracy, and we say that as Muslim, we have right to make our concept of democracy, which means we have right to use democracy as a method within the framework of Islamic rules and values.
This brings up the question whether democracy is an ideology or a method. You know, you find a lot of people, for example, treat democracy as an ideology. You know, they fight for democracy. You know, they criticize other systems based upon democracy. When, in fact, it seems that democracy is not an ideology as such. Mm-hmm. You know, democracy doesn't really have a view on economics, on economic relationships. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because it seems to me that, for example, what people confuse between democracy as method and democracy as ideology is based upon the ideological takeover of democracy. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Actually, democracy as a method means that in every society, we have many disagreements. For instance, when in a society, they want to make a decision, economic decision or cultural decision, for education, for health, there are many disagreements. Some groups, they say, we have do that. Others, they say, we have do another. So there are disagreements. Some people, they say, we have to go to war. Others, they say, we have to compromise. So there are some disagreement among people. Democracy as a method is a method for resolving such disagreements, which means the majority rule could help and could provide solution for these problems. It's a method for to resolve these disagreement in a society. So democracy as a method just work in the political field. The form of government, the representative model of, for instance, parliament, for instance, the president, the prime minister, they come to power by free and fair election, and the disagreement between different groups, different parties, would resolve according to this model. That this method, the majority rule, is based on majority rule, and also work, this method usually used according to a constitution that limits the area that we can use this method. But democracy as a lifestyle,
or ideology, I presume,
or as an ideology or as a lifestyle, does not confine to the field of politics, which means democracy as a lifestyle encourages you to be democrat in all aspects of your life, not just in your political life, in your private life, in your public life, with regard to your religious life, with regard to your family. You must be democrat, which means you have to respect to the will of people, and you must respect self-autonomy. Self-autonomy in all aspects of your life. So, for instance, let me make clear this point. In a religious society or in a religious government, they respect the religion as a main source. They respect religion, and religion has authority, which means they respect the rules of religion, the legal system of religion. But according to democracy as a lifestyle, no one has a right to decide for me.
Okay, there stop is no right there, because we have to break for a news break, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back after a few minutes. Back. And we have as our guest Sheikh Ahmed Vaizi, Dr. Sheikh Ahmed Vaizi, the author of Shia Political Thought. And the title of the book is a bit misleading because it talks about politics in Islam. And we are on the topic of Islam and democracy, and discussing the difference between democracy as methodology, as method, a democracy as an ideology or a lifestyle. And on the subject of his democracy as a lifestyle, the Sheikh was saying that democracy as a lifestyle means that you have to implement democracy in every aspect of your life. And he was talking about religion as one of the, one might say, victims of that particular type of attitude. So Sheikh, as you're talking about religion, for example, in democracy as a lifestyle,
Actually, I'm saying that in democracy as a lifestyle, you must have no commitment to a specific philosophical foundations, a specific values, a specific moral code, a specific religion. Why? Because you are a democrat man, which means you have to go to conversation. You have to respect the idea of others. Like political side, that you go to vote and to you respect the majority rule. In when you accept democracy as a lifestyle, you must be neutral with regard to many things that distinguish between right and wrong, good and bad. So you must be neutral, you must just listen to others and go to conversation with them to choose. So any type of lifestyle that is based upon endorsing a specific moral code, a specific religion, like religious people, that they show their commitment to a specific rules and values, they are not democrat man.
Right.
And democrat, because as a democratic lifestyle, you must, you shouldn't present yourself as a person that is rigid or has a specific commitment to a specific ideas and rules and principles. You must be flexible. Like in the field of the politics, in the field of politics, one day people decide to vote to this party, next year to another party.
Yes, or one policy as opposed to another policy.
Yes, yes. And that depends on the situation, and that depends to reasoning, because people, according to this democracy as a lifestyle, the self-autonomy of people is the most important. Self-autonomy is completely against the idea that someone else, even God, decide for us. So, look, for instance, Islam as a religion deny some religions and welcome some religions as monotheistic religion, for example, Abrahamian religions, but deny shirk, deny polytheism. But when you are Democrat, you have to look at all religion as the same. You have to ignore right and wrong, haq and batil. Because when you distinguish between haq and batil, right and wrong, and reject some religions as a wrong religion, some ideologies as a wrong ideologies, you are not a Democrat. That's the meaning of democracy as a lifestyle.
Right.
But if you look at Islam and recite Quran, you see many verses of Quran deny some religions, deny some ideas as a batil.
As falsehood.
As a false, as a batil. But in the field, in the field of democracy as a lifestyle, we have to respect differences instead of truth and false. We have to change the terminology. We have no right to use false and right and false and wrong and batil and haq. We have to forget these terminology, these terms. Instead, we have to respect differences.
So it seems that this approach to democracy as lifestyle seems rooted in the whole Western empiricist kind of idea, that there's no absolute truth, for example.
Yeah, definitely.
And everything is all relative.
Yes. Relativism and pluralism are the philosophical foundations of such approach. That is why postmodern philosophers, they usually support such concept of democracy.
But when you look at, for example, Western democratic systems, it seems that there's a kind of a combination between democracy as lifestyle and democracy as method. What I mean is, for example, in many non-Muslim countries, many Western countries, they have a constitution.
Yeah.
For example, the principle of the separation of church and state. You know, and this principle is not open to negotiation. You see, so on certain levels,
the proponents of and supporters of democracy as a lifestyle usually in the field of in the academic field they support, but on the ground there are many fundamentalists
extremist
and fundamentalist democracy that govern and dominate around the world. But in the academic field, the thinkers that discuss about democracy and also they criticize current democracies, usually as an alternative, they present such ideas.
Then
you are quite right that what's going on in the Western democracies are not such type of democracy.
Mm-hmm. Now, so what you are championing is democracy as method, basically, and that democracy as a method can be compatible with Islam.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. In my eyes, democracy as a method can be used in a political system that endures both the authority of people and the authority of religion. Both respect the role of people and Islamic rules and values, as I explained when I was discussing about the liberal democracy. And I said that liberals succeed to limit democracy as a method within the framework of liberal rules and values. So we can do that. Look, I think that at least there are three major elements for democracy as a method. First, participation of people in the process of making decisions. The other is people participate to distribute political power within the free and fair election. The third, the transparency of the government. Government must be questionable. It's these three major elements of democracy as a method.
Okay. Well, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah. And I think that when you look at Islamic sources, you would see that all three elements endorsed by Islam. Not in the same terminology. Yes, this terminology, election, or parliament, or the term democracy, you can't find in Islamic sources, but the spirit of these elements exists in Islamic sources. For instance, when Islam encouraged Muslim to forbid wrong and bid rights, Amr-e Ma'ruf and Nahy-e Munkar, and encourage people not as their rights, as their duty to do that. So, is according to this rule of Islam, people have right to put the governors under questions, and they must answer to people. People have right to criticize them. It's the third element of democracy as a method.
Do we have any example of this criticism taking place?
When Islam says that, Quran says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ, which Quran wants Prophet Muhammad to go to people, to consult with them, and to make decision according to their views. It's if we want to formalize this content in modern age, we can put this content in the form of election or parliament, something like this. Because in parliament, they consult with each other to make decision.
Right.
So I think that Islam did not provide us a specific form, for government, but emphasize on such elements, on the few elements that we can decide how to exercise these elements, how to keep these elements in different forms.
Uh-huh. Compatible with our
yes,
age.
Yes.
Type of
for instance, what Prophet Muhammad did was sort of assembly model of democracy, because when he was to respect this verse of Quran that says, "Come to people and consult with them." Bashawar hum fil amr. the method at that moment that were available was assembly model of democracy. But how about now? Mm-hmm. Now, if we want to respect this verse of Quran, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شَوْرَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَشَوْرَهُمْ فَلَهُمْ, we are not able to respect this verse and to do according to this verse by assembly model. We have no, now we have to think how we can do according to this verse of Quran. So we can create the representative model. And also maybe in future, by our reason, by our rationality, we can create new models of consultation with people.
Now, with respect to enjoining the right and forbidding the wrong, are there any examples in Islamic history, early or recent Islamic history, where, for example, the people use this principle to criticize the government?
Yeah. If you look at the history of Islam, early Islam, you see that openly and freely, people in the mosque, sometimes they stand and present the opposition to the Khalifa, for instance. Even women, sometimes they stand and say, you are wrong, and it is against Islam, something like this. And look at the what's the purpose of the Imam Hussein movement in Ashura. He says that to respect this verse of Quran, to respect Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahi al-Munkar, to respect forbidden wrongs and bid goods, I am going to do that. So it is so clear that this rule is one of the most important political rules of Islam. And as I said, it is not right of people to do that. It is the duty of people to do that. Because if we say that this matter is the right of people, you have right to ignore your right. But you have no right to ignore your duty.
Oh, I see.
You have to respect your duty. And so I'm saying that for us, it is possible to use such method and limit this method within the frame of Islamic rules and values, which means in religious democracy, although the authority of people has respected and people have right to participate in political affairs and make decisions, but the authority of religion, the authority of God's rules, God's values, are over the authority of people, which means in the field of conflict, the authority of God, the authority of religion has priority.
I see.
But when there is no conflict, we should respect the authority of people. So this model tried to keep both authority. And religious democracy, I'm saying that although the liberal democracy is very compatible with the public culture of the West and with the political culture of the West, but we should consider that with regard to the Muslim society, liberal democracy never work, because there are some contradiction between Islamic rules and values and liberal rules and values. At the beginning of your our meeting, you said that, is there any contradiction between Islam and democracy? I'm saying that we have to distinguish between democracy and the method and liberal democracy, current democracy. Yes, with regard to liberal democracy, there are some disagreement between Islam and liberal democracy. But with regard to democracy as a method, there is no, in my eyes, there is no conflict, there is no contradictory, and Islam and democracy are compatible.
So just as liberal or liberalism reflects the lifestyle and ideology of Western society, and it has come to shape the type of democracy that is compatible with it.
Yeah.
So Islam, or religion in general, one might say, could, like liberalism, come in and shape the type of democracy that is compatible with it. So you can have, for example, an Islamic democracy, maybe a Buddhist democracy,
yeah,
and so forth.
Definitely.
Now, what about in Islam? There's one other factor.
Pardon me. I emphasize that we have to leave the decision to the people. Mm. People of a society, they could decide. They could see that which political model are more compatible with their culture.
Right.
And what is wrong with current policy in the Middle East, for instance, they are saying that we're going to promote democracy in the region. What's wrong with this policy? The policy is they want to impose their rationality over the rationality of the people in the region. Why? Because the liberal democracy that they support and they want to promote does not compatible with the demands of their culture, the culture of the people. You know, Islam is the most important element of the Muslim cultures. So when they comparison between the Islam and the liberalism, they see that there are many conflict, so they can't accept. So this policy is wrong. Why? Because they want to impose
their culture, type of ideology, and practice upon the people.
It's very important.
Now, is democracy truly the best form of government? Most people, a lot of people these days are saying this, that the democracy is the best form of government. Is it truly the best form of government? Could other types of governments achieve the same type of goals and objectives that democracy can achieve?
Actually, it is a tricky question because, you know, in the academic field, always there are many good thinkers that they criticize democracy. Look at the books of Aristotle and Plato. They openly criticize democracy, sometimes harshly. They with harsh language, they criticize democracy. And now also, there are many thinkers that they criticize democracy. But many agree, many proponents of democracy, actually, they maintain that although democracy suffers from many deficiencies, but it seems that it is more feasible than other models of democracy with current lifestyle of human beings. And that is why in the age of modernity you see that many countries they follow democracy and they choose democracy. It doesn't mean that democracy is the best, and it doesn't mean that in the field of theory we have very good reason to convince others about democracy. But maybe because there are no other choice for them, they support that. And I do believe that, as I said, Islam can endorse democracy as a method, as I said. And we have to respect the spirit of democracy, not just the form of democracy. the spirit of democracy, as I said, these elements exist within Islamic teachings.
Thank you very much. I think with that we just ran out of time.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I want to thank Sheikh Vaizi for joining us here, and I think it's very notable that we ended on this particular point, that with respect to the essence and the spirit of democracy, there is no compatibility between Islam, there's no incompatibility between Islam and democracy. There is an incompatibility between certain types of democracy that reflect particular cultural and ideological patterns that might not be compatible with Islam. For example, being the perpetual skeptic and seeing one's religion or one's value system as relative. I want to thank Sheikh Vaizi for joining us here on Minbar, and we hope to see him again soon. And until next week, see you same time, same channel on Minbar.